officer, kindly need to know.
Well, the problem, basically, is this. This is the ultimate case. You remember our late, dear departed friend, Edward Hoover, may you recall. You know, when we get into the Ellsberg case, there was a personal reason. It involved Marx. He's one of his closest friends. It's Marx, not the Marx brothers, but toy makers. Marx's daughter was married to Ellsberg. And Hoover just kicked and screamed and said, I guess I'm going to investigate this thing and I can't do it. This is at least what we got from Mitchell. Under the circumstances, and an investigation was undertaken with a very, very small group at the White House. That's where the Hunt group, nothing in terms of or ATMs or anything was approved, but seeing what these crazy bastards have done since, you can see what it is. Now, the investigation also, and this is the hopeful thing, part of the prosecution, didn't do a damn bit of good. I mean, they got most of this appeared in the papers that Ellsberg had psychiatric problems, that Ellsberg was which we could have learned from Henry Kissinger, who was one of his students at one time, was quite
something. Well, by the time I talked to you...
But the point I make is this. None of that went to the prosecution. Then, after that, finally, Hoover got into it. Now, when Hoover got into it, you should know he wiretapped. He did. There's no question about that. I don't know who he wired up, but I mean the national security caps were used at that time. And then, as you know, with the hullabaloo that all rose to that, we knocked off all of those caps, except for the bank jobs we do on embassies. You're quite aware of the fact we do a lot of illegal things in this field.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I want you to know that my purpose on the hunt thing...
I have a problem calling me illegal in this field.
My purpose in the hunt thing, calling you, was simply to say that it was a national security investigation. It is not related in any way to the Watergate thing.
Correct.
And that the purpose of it was...
Well, is there any other? You know, I can't stay away from that, which I don't know.
Sure. You didn't know anything else?
Is there any other national security stuff that
yes,
we could inadvertently get into through Hunt? Yeah.
Yes, you could get into other things. For example, Hunt, nothing involving bugging, apparently. A try. For example, on one occasion, it was basically the whole Ellsberg period. You know, this place was leaking like a sieve. You remember Kissinger's National Security Council? We had a horrible time. And frankly, the country was in jeopardy. It was in peril in our situation with foreign governments and a lot of other things. And I'd get Hoover in, I'd say, God damn it, we've got to. Well, Mitchell got him in, and I got him in once myself, you know how it was. But he hated to get into anything involving the press. So, I think, though, quite candidly, Hoover for years, you should know, has bugged the,
in the country. I'm talking about even foreign intelligence stuff. I'm holding some of them up because if they're being approved by a deputy somebody over the State Department, and we're
this very
tightening up the procedures. That's all.
The president approved this thing.
I understand.
No, well, it's a helpful thing. It's a very important thing. But that's all that I want to.
bleak smithing. Oh, he did.
Well, it was shocking to me to see Strong's testimony, not his latest testimony. And where the U.S. attorney...
Well, I think we're going to have to do something.
Verbatim. And I don't know what... Doesn't that have some effect on the legality of this?
Yes, sir. I don't want to divert it. John Wilson?
I remember
the old man. Oh, yes, I know him very well.
Sir,
very, yes, indeed, so.
Highly honored and arrested.
Yes.
He thinks this is a very, very vulnerable point in their case.
Well, you know, we're very much
concerned. Our case.
What we've had in case you've got to tell you that
there's somebody there. It's either somebody in the U.S. Attorney's Office. Reporters don't do this. I mean, you know that. They don't do that. Bullshit. This sort of thing comes from somebody there. It's either Titus. Or Silver, or the other boy, Lancer. Lancer is a notorious leader. You know him, I know.
I'll tell you, I've been reluctant to divert anything from this effort, but I have another group entirely apart from the prosecution group now exploring what we can do, whether we get a temporary injunction or restraining. We're going to have to do something, Mr. President, and it's getting too bad.
Restrain
the reporter.
Reporter, goddamn it, restrain the people.
Well, you know, that...
If this is a case, by God, I can't then.
Well...
You have a right to or not?
No, sir.
This is a national security case.
Sir.
Down
to contempt.
You call me, I didn't know when you said the release of the grand jury, what you're talking about, and I picked up and saw that answer and I thought, verbatim, or my understanding was accurate. I don't know, I haven't talked to Strong, so I don't know if it was accurate.
I understand it's accurate, too. I mean,
doesn't it concern you?
It does.
Does it concern Titus?
For sure.
Does it concern Silver?
Yes.
Does it concern Lancer?
Yes, sir.
You sure?
I've had them all in. You know, we're talking...
I've been any crap. I've been lied to a little around here. That's why I've gone after these people, and we're going to find the truth here.
Well, we're going to have to... They have the only copy of the grand jury. They have the only copy of the grand jury stuff.
The problem is when you say this is going to come from the grand jury, remember?
I'm not talking about the grand jury. I'm talking about the reporter. The reporter service. We've had your agents over there yesterday. We've got to do something.
What's the reporter service?
The grand jury report. There's a private reporting service. I'm not sure which one. There are two or three in town that we use.
A couple of other things.
Yes.
On this business of the so-called privilege and so forth, let me just say, let you handle it. I mean, I can't come over there. I mean, I haven't got any counsel or anything. But you use your judgment on it. The U.S. attorneys have got to be instructed in the national security area. And in conversation with the president, that's the only thing I consider privilege. Anything else would be the other thing. But you agree to it. Now, if you don't think that's a proper position, you tell me something.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. And if the problem in that area comes up and I can't resolve, I'll just have to come back to you.
Sure. I told you what I was for. So you can see what was done.
The story, from what I have gathered, is inaccurate
in one respect. John D., throughout this period, I asked him the period since I got into this right after the Vietnam Peace Settlement Conference. I read it and I found at least 10 hours. I said, John, if there was, I said, was anybody in the White House, including yourself, did any of you know of this? Did any of you participate? He said, no. So, and that's what he told you as far as his prior participation is concerned. He knew of meetings, but he thought it was turned off. Now, that's what he tells me. Does he change his story now?
Well, basically, that's what he tells us. The point is that nobody, as I indicated before, nobody exercised any initiative and said to ensure that it was turned on.
Let me ask you about John Dean. John Dean's report to me and what he said, and then what I would say would be his comment, and I would make what sense from any of the ones in my house about that was based on Dean's oral report.
Mr. President, he told the same thing to me repeatedly.
Did he?
Yeah, well, of course, our conversations throughout this whole thing.
This was heard.
Pardon?
When did he tell you that? You understand? This is what gets me, isn't it? And I think he did it with the best of intentions. I think he was concerned about Mitchell, but I don't know, but he said he just didn't want to open up at all. But he said no one in the White House was involved. Now, that, however, could be precisely true. And yet he wasn't telling what he knew about Mitchell.
Well, that's right.
When did you ask him about the first thing?
Of course, I was dealing with him all along in this thing.
Sure, you were.
And I would say to him, John, I know...
See, you had an obligation. And if he was telling you something at all about her early winter, Mitchell was involved, he should have told me.
Well, he didn't tell me any of that stuff. And I would say, John, are you sure? I don't know what you're doing with this information. Are you sure that it's not getting out? And he would say... He never identified you. He would say, Henry, this information that you give me doesn't go any place but up. Well, up to me meant only Ehrlichman and Haldeman or you, which was perfectly all right with me.
Oh, I'm talking about, yeah.
Oh, subsequent...
Information you need from the grand jury.
No, information on the status of the investigation.
Oh, that's right. What I'm talking about is something else. Throughout your investigation during these months when we were relying on the Dean, you must have asked Dean whether or not anybody in the White House is involved.
Well, he said no.
What did he say about himself?
Well, I never asked him the question.
You just assumed he was.
I would say, John.
He's a member of the White House.
That's right. He would say, I can assure you, nobody at the White House is involved.
See, the point that I think is very important, they're going to say about the Department of Justice, Christ Almighty, that why didn't we check the accuracy of what Dean was doing? See, he was making an investigation for us, presumably. He said, no one in the White House is involved. Told you the same thing?
Yes, sir.
Up until when? Up until when?
Well, up until this.
Of course, I'm a bitch. I feel for him. Let me say on that score, I don't know what you can do on his situation. You just have to do whatever you think is right. And they said the only problem I have on the immunity side, the problem I have to say when you've got, that is, how the hell is it going to look?
President, we're just putting it off.
Yeah.
And hoping that additional evidence would come in.
From other people.
That will make our bargain position with Dean better. And then we can drive a harder bargain. Well, you know, our conversation of last night, I'm getting a memorandum, which I'll make available to you, on what has been extended to Dean up to this point. They tell me that his lawyer fully understands that no promise of immunity in any shape or form has been extended to Dean as of this time. And that would...
Let me say one thing. I am not suggesting to you that you don't grant immunity because of my desire.
I understand.
To
understand. No, I understand.
You understand?
No, sir.
I'm simply saying this.
Mr. President, let me say something. I have
uncorroborated testimony, though. Don't do it on the basis of that, because I think... I must say, I regret to say that I'm afraid the Dean was telling two different stories.
Well, let me tell you what
I don't know. I know this, that he told me an entirely different sort of period of time. He kept asking, but he was advising us as to what was going on during this period. And I had him sit right in that chair. I said, John, what's the story? What is the deal? And so forth. And he said, he did something. He thinks Mitchell remembers. He told me about that. He said, that is what I believe. But even there, he told me the same thing. He said, I said, can you say as a matter
I don't have any problem with what you're saying. If I reached the point where I would think, you know, frankly, I would come to you and say, Mr. President, we're at odds. I can't do it. You know, I don't think that.
We're trying to get the problem in this case.
My problem is establishing the credibility of Magruder and Strawn and Dean.
Right.
And that's really, that's what's taken us so long. Now, Magruder and Strawn are in some conflict. You know, I'm trying to work out to put them both before on a lie detector. I don't have all that much credit and faith in it, but it...
You can do that, can't you?
Yes, sir. If they're willing, not without their consent, of course, but...
I thought Colson was stupid if you were going to lie detect the test. Jesus Christ. I mean, that's just another thing, but...
A little bit overreaction.
Well, it's like, but it looks as if...
Looks like you...
I couldn't be a greater friend of Chuck's, but I think his lawyers give you bad advice, because... What the hell? In effect, I mean, if you let you cover all the questions, it really doesn't mean anything.
That's right. Well, we've got the very key questions on Magruder and Strawn with respect to Holden.
Yeah.
And that's what scares all of us.
And the great key questions there, what are the differences in that sense?
Well, Strawn says Holden got the budget, but he didn't know anything about, you know, in essence, their content. So there's conflict.
As to whether or not he didn't know whether or not the budget included bugging.
That's right.
Key point. Magruder says.
And Magruder says he was given the product of the intercepts.
Did he say to get the budget? What about the budget point? Whether or not he got the budget?
Magruder says that too.
Magruder says all of it got the budget plus.
Plus.
And knew what it was.
Yes, plus the intercepts. Strawn says no. You know, we're going to try and put them both on lie detectors and see if we can get
the other one. Else. Tough case. Coming back to the Ehrlichman thing, you're still on the point of what happened in what you call the deep six crap.
That's all we have, yes, sir.
Except one thing. Whether he might have had knowledge that they were trying to help the defendants.
Yes,
that is something that was found. For example, Dean told me this is really what triggered my own investigation, frankly, getting Dean out of it when we're even on it. When he told me that Pittman had talked to him about having to have attorney's fees and support for Hunt, you know. And I said, and this is my God, I said, I can't go down this road. I got to give Dean credit. I said, but what would it cost to keep supporting these defendants? He said, $1 million. I said, well, maybe we can get that. Jesus Christ. Think of that. And then he said, that's blackmail. But you can't go down this road, John. I mean, trying to get that. See, that's the whole point. That's what it could mean. But these guys, he had, of course, won his attorney's fees. And frankly, if it were a case of getting their attorney's fees for the purpose of, at the earlier point, I would have perfectly approved of it after all they were working in the campaign. But here at this late, they had to ask for attorney's fees and so forth. What the hell is that?
That's a very sensitive issue for my friend Bittman. Very well, because as a matter of fact, he's a very able lawyer. I've worked with him.
I know the lawyers are, Jesus Christ, they do what a four-man lawyer does what he has to do, I guess. But
I haven't felt free to associate
with him. Let me say, I forget that I thought Dean probably would rather that Dean told me about this conversation. And that's the only time. And the only time that Ehrlichman apparently ever heard. I think this is very important, because I asked John, and they don't lie to me. I'm telling you, I think Dean did, but not viciously. He thought that he was lying for the purposes of how God stands. But Ehrlichman and Holloman did not lie to me.
I hope that's right, Mr. President.
They don't lie. I'll vouch for them. That's why and that's why, of course, that my view has to be a little bit different from yours. Let me say, the moment that anything happened, no question, without any question. Now, let me say it earlier. Everybody around here had to be aware of the fact that everybody in town of the stories to the effect that the defendants were getting something. You know, I mean, they were getting attorney's fee or something. It was on Mrs. Hunt's story and so forth, and she died. And Dean, on one occasion, apparently did talk to Berkman about the need for that. And Berkman said, I, being frank, thank God, a very good lawyer, said, I can't have anything to do with it. And that's a problem for you to have to work out with the political people. Berkman, curiously enough, was the Ann Haldeman, too, were both advocates right after the convention. What I call the let all hang out thing. I said, for Christ's sake, get it out. She couldn't get Mitchell. See, the key to this, Henry, was Mitchell. I mean, just talking between us. Mitchell wouldn't do it. I said, I never asked John Mitchell what he was done. But the point was that what should have happened after this thing is that John Mitchell should have stepped up and said, look, I wasn't timing the story. These kids did these jackass things. I'm terribly sorry. Plead whatever you want to plead. Let's get on with the campaign. But he wouldn't do it. And there started.
It's been much better, Mr. President.
There's, well, sure, it's too late now. But there started the tragedy. And now we have to do our best to do it. But on this basis, then, you've got Strong at odds with McGruder.
Yes.
Both before the grand jury. No, yes.
Well,
yes.
Magruder's a pre-grand jury statement.
But that's an early. Do those under
oath? I don't think he's under oath at this point. As a matter of fact,
it doesn't make any difference. Yeah. He's not saying they're under oath. In essence, the question is, the Magruder says all of them got the tape, and Strong says, we got stuff, but I didn't recognize it as the tape. Is that basically the difference?
That's basically it. That's right.
Awfully hard to make a case on that.
That's right.
Awfully hard to make a case, isn't it? One man against the other, which one do you believe? $350 is the other thing. I see that. That Holden had to be aware that, according to that, anybody could imply.
That makes him out to be the toughest issue.
What?
That makes him out to be the toughest issue so far as Holden is
concerned. Because basically, he had this, these funds made him available, but the request of the Blue at all. And certainly knowledge of the fact that the funds were used for certain purposes. Then it gets down, his case, I suppose, I could credit through. I guess Mr. Wilson will have to do this. For what purpose? When? Oh, the other thing on Earth is the Deep Six thing.
Yes, sir.
And well, here's a good friend, Pat Graves, in the box.
Well, that's
her rights.
If he had at least read the documents, it would have been all right.
He what?
He tells me now that...
He didn't read them?
That he didn't read them and he burned them. Has no idea what he burned.
And based it on the fact that he was told they were political documents, political stuff.
By Dean and Ehrlichman.
What?
By Dean and Ehrlichman.
What is the situation? Basically, it's Dean's position, Henry, that he was just a conduit.
Dean's position is that he was an agent. He was an information gatherer from all sources.
Being ordered by Mitchell to do things, in order by Haldeman to do things, in order by Earl to do things. Is that right?
That's right.
That's really hard to prove. Very hard.
Sure.
We've gone through the files. I said, we have. I said, well, let's see what the situation is.
Well, the whole case is going to be hard to prove, Mr. President, because it has to be an entirely testimonial case. There are very little documents that are available to corroborate anybody. That's right. So we have to use the testimony of insiders.
Yeah, but it's testimony of people that are involved. That's
right.
That's a tough case.
That's right. Yes, indeed.
Thank God.
And you have to corroborate
them. I never was in this field except, let's say, my own exposure to criminal law was in this case.
Well, and it becomes terrible when a case has political connotation.
Sure.
You know, because then the motives multiply mathematically.
Let me say, I think, Henry, that we've made a mistake. I hope you think.
sir. I don't
see. That's it.
Yes, sir.
A good reaction.
Indeed, sir.
But coming back to your whole business of immunity, that apparently you've got to grant that. When I say you, the Attorney General has to.
He's out of it. You know, I have to. Yes, sir.
Because I put you in.
Yes, sir.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. I'm not sure it's enjoyable, but it's fair enough.
All right. So you've got a pretty tough call there, haven't you?
Yes, sir. Well, that's an anticipatory problem.
When will you get to that, though? You've got to be 15 out there. You just got him, and he's sitting at home waiting for you.
Yes, sir.
What's his lawyer doing?
He's sitting, too. And frankly, that's part of our bargaining process.
What do you mean?
To let them sit and soak and know that we're in the grand jury, we're getting other evidence.
Well, look, you've got evidence on him. You know. Dean, that is not on the creed. Not on the creed necessarily, because on the creed, he told me, and I believe him on this, that he came and owns it. That's not having to do with his shit. And I think you're right. And so on that, I'm sure that Dean is telling the truth. And he sat in a conversation, but he's never been told us untruth on that. Do you believe him that he did not know that this thing went forward?
We're not ready to conclude on that.
But that's what he says.
So we said we go not to have any.
Now, the problem that he has is that one is a subordination of perjury thing, right?
Yes.
McGruder charges him with that.
Yeah.
How does he handle that? Does he say he does that as an agent that he was told to get these people to contact the story?
No, we had his thrust on agency is general. I mean, he hasn't reduced it to any specific thing.
All that does, I suppose, is reduce the charge of the business of his nature. Or does that get a man off?
Well, no, it really doesn't get a man off. It's no defense at all in law. It's simply mitigation of punishment, if anything. May have some jury appeal in a particular
case. The other thing is participation in the so-called, in the payoffs and so forth. No, because he didn't. On that, you could say... You could prove that, couldn't you? His participation in that. The subordination thing, you got to prove with McGruder.
We're not ready to say, ultimately, that we can prove anything.
Oh,
we haven't really begun to marshal the facts. And
how far away are you?
It's hard to say. It's a terribly complicated jigsaw puzzle. We're putting pieces together.
Do the best you can.
And it's very slow process.
All the cooperation you can from here on this business of the possibility of David. Holman. Does it help you at all that Holman says he's just
post-operation obstruction of justice. Robert's point. The allegation is, you know, that Pittman to O'Brien to Haldeman, in terms of a demand, take care of us, we'll talk. And Ehrlichman says, well, we don't have it pinned down. All we have it in terms of allegations, sometime after the trial. January. Utter about the time Hunt was pleading guilty. That's the implication. Now, we haven't corroborated that one way or another.
Bittman
says that allegation comes from McCord, who says that he got it from Dorothy Hunt. Bittman says we haven't had Bittman in to testify, and Bittman says that's entirely untrue. I mention it not because I think it's an item of admissible evidence at this point, it's just another one of the discouraging dimensions of this problem.
Bittman say that he got the... So you have to have Bittman say that he told O'Brien that we needed money or Hunt would
the problem. Well, I know Bittman's too good a lawyer to make a statement in a fashion like that. That's one thing.
Not
that I know of. Bittman, I think, talked, of course.
Come down.
Oh, that's very thin.
Regards to
very thin.
Regard to Alderman,
quite likely. Well, let me put it by the Ehrlichman thing, I regard only as, at this stage, as an item of information for you.
I see.
And really
yeah,
not.
I've got to find out and talk to you.
That's right. But not as a future charge.
Editor, what the dean is saying, you know, that's where I've got the degree of insured. Who's lying there? If not, but anyway.
And the second, and even with Ehrlichman, I mean, we haven't passed judgment on these things. We wanted to get them to you before you read them in the newspaper, obviously.
Sure.
But we haven't passed judgment on these.
Here, got their tangential subject. assure you that then when it came to the period of the attorney's fees and so forth, that treaty was broken occasionally. You really come down to it, because I understand. And I got to give Dean credit. He came in and said, Jesus Christ, there is this money. That's an indication of the problem. And it's just we've got to do something about it. Now, it's embarrassing. And at that point, Dean never indicated he did anything about the money, but apparently if there was something about it. But he said that years, he said, well, God damn it, John, you've got to get this button. And he goes to Camp David, couldn't write a report, and I turned it over to Haldeman. And I must say, Haldeman did get to the bottom. He reached the wire about the same time you did, because he had to, he called on Saturday noon, and you had to boot it in Saturday afternoon. And then that was it. And we met Sunday. It's been a long week. Why don't we take Easter off? But the main thing is, let me say, your record must be, I can reason on this clearly, your record must be one of impeccable going after this. The Justice Department has handled this case, right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Absolutely.
And even in this brief before, you were relying on being what you told you, right? And actually, from the rest, you questioned them all.
Absolutely.
Right? And you had no obstruction from the White House in your investigation.
Yes, sir.
Cooperation, however, if it wasn't, because you see, so now, does the U.S. Attorney feel they have cooperation with the White House in this period? Or do they have...
They were not impeded. You know, they
yeah.
You know, they're...
On the other hand, there's a point about Dean. Maybe, question the witnesses and all that sort of thing. They may think that if they, as you look back, there may have been some subordination. So, okay. Have a good time.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah. Yes, sir. The Bureau, yeah.
I would not answer that, John. I don't take any, draw any conclusions from your mentioning it. I know whether or not they are considered. I guess my present day standard type amount is something that was religious, maybe only by present day standards.
Perhaps, that's about mine.
And I pray every day that what I do will be right, and what people like you do that affects me will be right.
Sure.
And if that sounds fatalistic, if it comes out that you make me the director, that's fine. If it comes out that you don't make me the director, that's fine.
Do something else.
That's right.
Let's have Easter off, shall we?